We still laugh about that now, but it was embarrassing.
Let me just say that I did John and Amber's wedding, and in front of everybody, I asked her, are you sure about this?
This is the Staff Podcast at First. Join us each week as we discuss the topics that are on our minds. Marriage, social media, parenting, or topics that you ask about. Pull up a chair. This is the Staff Podcast at First.
We lived in where John's living now. And Shay, one time, I told this in church, Shay decided, she's a little bitty girl, preschooler, in the bath, in a bubble bath. And she decided, because I was fixed to leave going to a revival meeting, that she'd run down to the church and tell me goodbye. So she gets out buck naked, nothing but bubbles on, runs all the way down this highway to go to my office. Susie and I are in the house. And so this doorbell rings, and Susie goes to the door, and there's a woman standing there with Shay. Shay's buck naked and says, is this your little girl? She said she lives here. And we still laugh about that now, but it was embarrassing during that time. Our kids brought a lot of joy to our life. We're glad they're gone, but we love empty nest.
She's always a good sport. I'll sneak in the bathroom while she's showering and throw cold water on her and, you know, just different things that most women would be not too happy with, and Amber puts up with it and right. I hope loves it, and it's pretty funny whenever we get to laugh together like that.
Let me just say that I did John and Amber's wedding, and in front of everybody, I asked her, are you sure about this?
We're glad you're joining us today. We wanted to take an opportunity just to be able to sit around and have some conversations with the people of our church and our community about some different topics that we know we get asked about a lot. And one of the topics that we want to deal with first and foremost is marriage. I can't tell you how many times during the course of a week we have people call us up and say, hey, look, would you mind visiting with us about our marriage, counseling us in our marriage? We've got some different issues going on. And so we have the opportunity from time to time to sit around and to talk with different couples and with each other about what the Bible says about marriage, some of the successes and failures about marriage. And we wanted to spend some time today just talking about what some of those successes and some failures look like. And so I've got with me Steve Bennett, Bo Guidry, and John Louvier. And we're going to just talk a little bit today about what some of the successes in our own marriages have looked like, what some of those same failures have looked like, and how will you turn some of those failures into success. What has been your biggest success in marriage?
Biggest success is oneness. Susie and I finding oneness and becoming a team. And it took a while to get to that point. But people who know us now, I think they see that. That we're one in everything. I listen to what she says. She's very wise. She's followed me everywhere God has sent without complaining. And there's just a oneness. I'd rather be with her than anybody I know.
A success for Olivia and I is that early on we learned that we had different communication styles. Based upon the background where I grew up and where she grew up, two different home styles, we were hollowers. In our house, her home was more quiet, and so passion was communicated in our home, very calm communication in her home, and so we had to learn to do that. And once we're still learning, you know, but the learning how to communicate both what is said and how it's said has been a game changer for us.
John, how about you and Amber?
I think for us, we kind of figured out early that marriage was pretty hard, and there was going to be ups and downs that kind of went along with it. So we made a decision very early that we just weren't going to give up. No matter what happened, we were going to fight through it, and we may be mad about something, but we weren't going to give up on what we were trying to do.
Speaking of fights, what was your first fight? Do you remember your first fight with your spouse, the first major fight you had?
Yeah, I do. I had a bachelor pad, and Olivia had come in and helped me decorate my house. And it had a little bit of her touch in there. And then when we got married, everything that we had gone and bought for decor had to come out and be replaced with new stuff from Hobby Lobby or Home Goods and stuff like that. And I just remember that was a point of conflict because we had a closet full of stuff I had already paid for. And now we had new stuff on the walls. And I know that's something dumb to talk about or argue about, but that was our first argument. That was about 2 weeks in. And so now I've just learned, I've resigned that she decorates the home and I like it.
I don't remember our first fight when in our marriage, but I remember our first fight when we were dating, kind of leading into marriage. I hunt and fish as much as I can, and I went on a night fishing trip, and I'm not real good at keeping in touch. So I was gone for hours into the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, and Amber did not understand that. Her dad doesn't hunt or fish or do anything like that. So she couldn't get in touch with me. She thought I was dead, all this kind of stuff. She did everything short of calling the sheriff to go look for me.
Have y'all ever fought?
No. Honestly, I can't remember Susan ever having a fight. We go from one extreme to the other. People who know us now would be probably shocked to find out that at least on three occasions, Susie planned to leave. And made plans. I mean, plans. She's not a fighter, and I'm not a fighter. So one was a month after we got married. We were so different from each other. I'm burning in a coal at 2 o'clock in the morning, a night owl. And she goes to sleep with chickens. Her whole family was that way. And I was very busy going to school, pastoring, that kind of thing. And I was very inattentive. Even when our son was born, she was in the hospital for about 8 days because she had a cesarean for him. And she said, I visited her like a church member. I came in about 10 minutes, visit where I'll see you tomorrow, that kind of thing. You know, I had things to do. And I was very inattentive. And I had to learn that because I'm a loner by nature. She's pretty much a loner by nature, too. But I didn't realize how different men and women are emotionally. So I thought, well, we're married. Let's keep doing our lives, you know. And we never fought. I can't remember a fight that we had. But she knows when I'm upset or she's upset. But there's no hollering and talking and that kind of thing.
I remember our first two fights. The first major fight that we got into, we were living in an apartment in Dallas right after we'd first gotten married. We got married in May, and no major holidays had come up yet. And we're both very family-oriented people. And I grew up going to both grandparents' houses for each holiday. And to me, that was just normal. That's what you did. Well, they didn't do that. And so my idea once Thanksgiving came around is we'd go to my parents and we'd go to her parents. Well, her parents lived in Houston and my parents lived north of Dallas. And it was just ridiculous to think that we were going to make that trip in the same day. But I was bound and determined that that's what we were going to do. And so she was like, no, JJ, we need to go to your family's for Thanksgiving, my family's for Christmas, and then next year we'll flip-flop. And I was like, that's not happening. And we got in a major fight, and I lost, and figured out very quickly that we were going to continue to do things the way but she was doing it the right way, the smart way. She was thinking things through, and I was thinking things the way that I had just kind of grown up, and I hadn't released myself from my old family to be able to think about my new family and do that kind of thing. And the other thing that got me, the other first fight that we had was because of my pride. I'm not a fix-it guy. I mean, I can do some simple things like, you know, hammer a tack into a wall. But I'm not a fix-it guy. And so when stuff would go wrong, she's got a father that's an engineer and takes care of everything. And I would come in and I would see something wrong in the house and she would be like, hey, just so you know, I've already called my dad. I'm like, well, wait, why didn't you give me a shot? And so early on, my pride was hurt and I would get upset about that and then quickly figured out that it's not such a bad deal to have somebody come over and take care of things for you if you don't really know what you're doing. So in these fights that you had, how were you able to swing those failures, for lack of a better term, into a success into your marriage? Because you're all still married. So how does that look?
For us, so we're about 15 years in from that argument that I mentioned about the decor stuff. We've been very fortunate to have a beautiful home. And so I've learned to back off and see that Olivia's spiritual gift, or a spiritual gift that she has, is hospitality. And that means that she's a nester. Most ladies are. But in her nest, she's going to create an environment that's welcoming, that's fun to be in. And so I could really care less about creating that type of environment. I'd rather just give you a cup of coffee, sit down and visit with you, whether it's on a dirt floor or in a beautiful house. And so I've learned that I'm gifted different than she is. And there are things that... whether she's gifted at or not, just because she's a female and I'm a male, I don't care about. She tremendously cares about. So that wouldn't necessarily make that overly spiritual, because it's really simple. It's something that she values, therefore I need to value it. But I also know I'll never value it the same level that she does. But she finds fulfillment in it, creating that environment. So,
for us, it kind of rested on me. I had to figure out that Amber is just a worrier, by nature. And I don't really worry a lot, when I can't get in touch with somebody. But she will worry herself sick. So I have to do a better job. And this is still a process. I'm still getting better at it. But I have to do a better job of just making sure that I keep in touch with her, even just a simple text to let her know that I'm okay. Even when we're hunting, kind of where there's no cell phone service, I try to find a way that I can at least send her a text just so that she doesn't have to worry and, freak out if she can't get in touch, because she will, and I know that. So it was up to me to kind of step up and do something different and change it for her.
Preacher, what about you? You've never really had fights, but you've had moments where you said that she was about to leave three times, so you did learn some things.
I learned that she doesn't express her emotions. She holds them in. And so when it finally gets enough, the camel's back is broken, and she's I'm leaving, and never had a fight, never had a word. And my inattentiveness, because I've always been in growing churches, so I'm in meetings, I'm seeing these people, I'm gone all the time. I always tried to be there when our kids were at home for supper, and we had family time then, and we read the scripture to our kids and talked that kind of thing. But, man, I was gone. I was just busy and showed the church more attention than I showed her. So I finally had to just stop and think and figure out how she's wired. And then I came to Ephesians 5, where it says what the wife needs is to feel cherished. That's her greatest need, is to feel cherished. And what the husband needs from her is respect. And she showed that to me from the very beginning. It's still humbling to me, but all of our married life, she has called me sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. And still does, because she read that Sarah called Abraham Lord. And when she read that, she embraced that. So she's always showed me respect, but she's not always felt cherished. And that's when I began to study, how can I make my wife feel cherished? And it's not hard, but the church has heard me say, you guys heard me say, I had to make a list. I had to think through, what does she need from me? Because she doesn't think like a man. And I don't think like a woman. So it was hard for me to say, okay, this is what is going to make Susie feel cherished. Smalley came out with the five love languages later, that helped a lot of people, but I'd had it figured out by then.
Amber, she'll send like 15 questions in a row by text message. And I have this rule, and I think we have a rule as a couple. She doesn't really agree with it, but it's a rule that I only answer the last question.
And is it really a rule?
It's just what I do. I only answer the last question, and it frustrates her. So, communication is just something that we've been working on since the beginning of our marriage, and it still, to this day, can be an issue, especially from my point of view.
I got a lot of good advice before I got married. One of the pieces of advice that I got from a minister was that we were never to make our spouse tell the other spouse's parents no, that we were never to be put in that position. Because when you're dealing with a new family and all those kind of things, that when if I were to have to tell her parents no about a situation, it just creates conflict that doesn't need to be there. More advice that I'd gotten was that when you're angry, when you're upset with each other, obviously don't go to sleep with that anger still there, because you don't want to, because you'll just wake up with it. Yeah, stay up and get it worked out. Never slam the door, never walk out. And what I told my wife from the very beginning was, look, I'm not sleeping on a couch. You can be mad at me all you want to. That just means our feet won't touch in the bed. But I'm not walking out and I'm not sleeping on a couch. I think there's a lot of people in this day and age that, quite honestly, when they begin to feel a little failure in their marriage, that they just kind of walk out. They just say, this is too much for me. I don't want to deal with this. And they just kind of leave. And so how have y'all, have y'all had the urge to do that in your own marriage? And if so, how have you fought against that?
She may have thought about it because I'm a knucklehead, but I never have. And I'm glad for that. I've seen other people do it, and I saw the damage that it causes. And I don't want anybody to go through that, including myself. And so we've just learned to talk, be honest, and work through it.
I think the thought to walk away too, though, is, and maybe not walk away from the marriage totally, but walk away from a fight can be damaging. You know, so we decide it's a choice to stay and fight. It's a choice to stay and work things out. And what we've learned over the years is, you got to think about what your mindset is going into a fight with your spouse. Is your mindset that you want to be right, or do you want to get it right? And I think that's a perspective change that, you know, when we go into a fight hoping that we get it right, it's a much better fight than when both of us go into a fight saying, I just want to be right here.
I don't think fights are enjoyable on any level.
Right.
But we learned from a guy at a conference about how to fight fair.
Yeah.
And how the goal in an argument or a fight for me as a spouse is for Olivia to win. And then in order for that cycle to work, her goal is for me to win. And so we're both going to win. And so there, you have to define first how you communicate in that, and honesty is the premier thing in that. But yeah, we don't thrive in conflict, but conflict's going to happen. And so once you get past that conflict, it can be a really fun, exciting thing.
As you've dealt with marriage counseling as ministers, because we've all done that on some level, what do you see some of the biggest things to overcome for the couples that we're counseling?
In my experience, it's selfishness. I talked about the oneness earlier. This is my money, this is your money. This is my schedule, this is your schedule. I'm going to do this, I don't care what you do. I'm going to stay gone all night and not tell her where I'm at, because I'm going to fish and hunt, whether she likes it or not. Right. You know. And I think this separateness, living in the same house, but everything's separate, it makes it easier to remove yourself from it. That's so much divorce. You and I have sat with couples before, and it's over. I mean, it's just over at that point. And there is no unity there at all. I mean, it's your job to do this. You know, I'm going to do this. It's your job to do the dishes, your job to cook. Well, where's that written at? You know, and there's none of this oneness to where we say, okay, we're in this together. I'll do whatever we need done. It's not anybody's job. But, man, by the time it gets to our offices, she's over here on Venus and he's over here on Mars, and it seldom recovers from there unless they're just really broken and really want to see the Lord do something. But at that point, it's way late.
You know, a lot of the times that I've, in the counseling that I've done, just unrealistic expectations of what the other person should be doing. And I play around with my wife a lot, and was even telling her this morning that I should have had a full cooked breakfast in front of me when I woke up this morning, which she promptly ignored me, as she should have. But I think there's some real unrealistic expectations that I think maybe our culture sets on people now, through maybe the selfishness that comes through it, but just a lack of knowledge of what God expects in a Christian marriage to be out there. I think you refer to Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3 are great places to go find what a marriage should look like. But Ephesians 5:1 says this, that we are to be imitators of God and look like Him. If we can look more like Him, then our marriages are better, because his whole character is love and unselfishness.
And submission to one another.
Right.
Not just why I submit to the husband. It says in there, submit yourself to one another.
Right.
So you put yourself under the other one to say, what do you need? What can I do, you know, to bless you, to make you happy? One of the worst feelings I ever have in my life is when I know she's upset with me because she's not going to say anything.
Right.
So how do I fix this, you know? And sometimes just dumb mistakes, but I want her to feel cherished. I want her to be as happy as she can be with me at all times.
I think I echo what preacher says. And the submission in the, you know, chapter 5 of Ephesians, that's where we all go to, in verse 20 and 21, it's submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, as a Colossians passage, but also, since we're submitting to Christ, it enables us to submit to one another. And, man, I want my home to be happy and healthy. And so it has to start there. And if it's there, it's going to flow out to the rest of my life. And if it's not there, that same frustration is going to flow out to the rest of my life. And so submission is misunderstood at best in culture.
When I get ready to do weddings, I tell people I will use the word submit And I'm going to be honest with you. If you're marrying somebody who is a God follower, you want that word in your wedding.
You want that covering.
Yeah. We've had a great time conversing about this kind of stuff today. And what we want everybody to walk away with today is this, is that whatever failure you might have in your marriage, it's not final. You don't have to walk away from that. There's always a way to fight for your marriage, always a way to continue to work toward getting better in your marriage. And we're always available to help visit with anybody. And we want to be a resource for you as well. But we just want to encourage you in your marriage. There's going to be days when it's going to be hard. There's going to be days when you're married simply because you said you would be. But at the end of the day, we want you to know that God's got your back, that God is the one who created marriage. God is the one who wants you to be successful in your marriage. And the more connected you are to Him, the more your marriage can be a part of the gospel to those that would see the two of you together walking in life together.